Good evening, everybody.
Hello, and welcome to the Disney Magic Hour, episode number 87. This week, we are coming to you live from the Wilderness Lodge for some news, food, and other doodads. To my left, not as always, is Jimmy. Say hello, Jimmy.
Hello, Jimmy.
To my right is live and in person, Ryan Wilson. Say hello, Ryan.
Hello, Ryan.
And to his right, as never always, is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
Hello, Pete. And say hello, Pogo. This episode of Disney Magic Hour is brought to you by MEI Travel. For all your vacation planning needs, to visiting Walt Disney World, taking a stay at the Wilderness Lodge, taking a cruise, traveling anywhere around the globe, visit the experts over at MEITravel.com. Becky and her team can get you started on your own adventure. Right now, you are listening to There You Are. You can hear this track and more over at SoundCloud.com/PogoMix. His website is PogoMix.net. We are LastGenPodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at DizMagicHourPod. That's D-I-S, Magic Hour Pod. Facebook, we are the Disney Magic Hour. You can find our group, add yourself, add your friends if you're already there. We're on iTunes, we're on Google Play Music, and you can find us on SoundCloud.com/DisneyMagicHourPodcast. Download their app so you can listen to us across all of your devices. And Melissa, where can everyone find us on Instagram?
At Disney Magic Hour Podcast.
And there you are, and here we are. And as I said, we are actually on the third floor?
I think it's kind of second-ish, yeah.
Yeah, we're on one of the floors of the Wilderness Lodge right now, and we are going to record a show for you tonight from here. And visiting for nearly a week now, you always know him as Ryan Wilson of the Main Street Gazette, but tonight he is Ryan Wilson of the Main Street Gazette. Ryan, welcome, number one. Number two, where can everyone find you and everything you do with the Main Street Gazette?
They can find it at mainstgazette.com is the main site, and mainstgazette will get it to Twitter or Instagram, and if you search Main Street Gazette on Facebook, you'll find it there too.
So you've been here since, what, last Saturday? And how's it been so far?
It's been good. After the race weekend, the crowds have gone down. It's been incredibly hot the end of this week.
Yeah, it's been hot this week.
But it's been a great week.
And actually, Jimmy, you ran in the races.
I did. I ran the 10K and the half marathon. Both they were Star Wars Dark Side themed.
How were the medals? The medals look good?
The medals were awesome this race. I mean, the half marathon medal was Kylo Ren themed. The 10K was Stormtrooper themed, and the Dark Side Challenge medal that you get is a giant Death Star. It's really cool looking.
Are you the light side?
I am not. Light Side is out in California, and it's usually the week after the Dopey Challenge.
Oh.
So, you know, running four races, I have no desire to fly out to California and then run two more, so I usually skip that one.
Come on.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot. I wouldn't. I won't run any of them, so that's that. So this week we have kind of a different show for you. Obviously, normally we review a movie, something like that. But since we are all here, there's just been a lot of news that has been coming out over the last week. We're going to go over all of that good stuff. And let's start with the multitude of announcements that came out when it comes to movie releases. So we're going to I kind of broke them down towards category. And then I'm just curious. I just want to measure the room's interest in everything as we kind of go along. Starting with the live-action films in 2018, Wrinkle in Time is going to be coming out on March 9th. Mulan already has a date as of November 2nd. There's been no casting news on that, and to my knowledge, no shooting date, but that is set up for November 2nd for a release. And then Mary Poppins is coming out Christmas Day. So a movie that's already in production is going to come out a month and a half after a film that has not even started production yet.
Was there, I don't know if it was just a rumor, but there was something where they said that Mulan's voice was going to be in the live action. Mulan from the animated.
Oh, why am I blanking on her name?
Ming
Na Wen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. There's talk of it, that she'll have a voice. I think it should be your mother. I think it just kind of fits. It makes sense that way. But out of these three movies, like the live actions that we're getting in 2018, I would definitely say Mulan is at the top of my list. I know Wrinkle in Time, I think that's going to be the surprise that everyone's not expecting to fall in love with, and they're going to. But out of these three flicks right now, Ryan, which one are you kind of leaning towards? Like, if you could see one sooner than anything else, which one would you go with?
I think Mary Poppins, just because it has that mix of the nostalgia. We know what the classic holds, and so there's a lot of questions. And so I really want to know what the answer to that is. Does this hold up to the tradition we've seen? Mm-hmm. Is this going to be as good as you think it is or not, depending on how you look at it? But I agree with Wrinkle in Time. I love the book growing up. I love that when I was going through school for education. That was great. And so I think it's going to surprise a lot of people about how good it is.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the shocker out of that. Melissa, I'm guessing you're Mary Poppins.
I am Mary Poppins. I actually have a funny story about A Wrinkle in Time. I was in sixth grade, and I was supposed to read books for book report, and my grandmother had given me that one to read, and I brought it in for the teacher to, show her I was going to read it. And I think it had, a Pegasus or something on the cover, and the teacher said I couldn't read it because it was fantasy.
Wow.
Yeah. So I actually should probably read that book.
Yeah, maybe you should start reading it now.
But yeah, no, I'm really excited for Mary Poppins. Lin-Manuel Miranda's my fave, and him on Twitter right now is really great. Just all his, talking about the production and everything, and he spoiled that he does slide down a banister, so I'm excited about that.
But does he slide up a banister?
He did not say.
He didn't say, right?
No.
That's cool, though, he's doing that. Jimmy, for you, is any of these stick out in particular for you?
Definitely the Mary Poppins. I like the casting, and I'm a huge Lin-Manuel Miranda fan as well, so I'm really looking forward to that. I think he's just a musical genius, so I'm very much looking forward to the new Mary Poppins.
Going for that EGOT again. I'm sure he's going to have some writing credit on some of the music in there, so I want to see if maybe he gets it after not getting it from Moana, but I think the right music won last year, I should say, even though the ceremony was this year. Going towards animation releases in 2018, this is kind of phenomenal.
This is hard.
This lineup is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
We start off on June 15th, we get The Incredibles 2. On November 21st, we get Wreck-It Ralph 2. And on June 21st, I'm sorry, going backwards, that can't be right. That cannot be right.
Is it 2019?
Maybe Toy Story is 2019?
I think it is. I think they flipped it.
Okay, I may have the wrong date on that. Yeah, you're right. I wrote that down wrong. It is, Toy Story is actually going to be 2019. So, still though, with 2018 alone, we've got Incredibles 2, we got Wreck-It Ralph 2. I mean, Incredibles 2 for me is the thing that I can't wait for probably the most out of anything they're doing animation-wise. But Wreck-It Ralph, I thought, was a massive surprise, and I thought it was fantastic. And I want to see how they can do something different this time.
What, Ralph breaks the internet?
Yeah, it breaks the internet. Well, I'm guessing he literally, breaks the internet.
Yeah.
Not that he gets so popular and it's used in that thing, it's that he ceases to let the internet exist. So, how far can Disney go with internet humor, Ryan?
I don't know. I think that thing that dates you very quickly in terms of, it's a Tomorrowland problem. You can never get so far ahead of it that it's not going to date the movie instantly. The arcade kind of timeless classic, that worked really well for Wreck-It Ralph 1. And I think with both of these features, I'm in the same boat with The Incredibles. I'm really psyched for it. Both talked about, even other movies, like Guardians of the Galaxy coming out next week. How do you avoid that sophomore slump? How do you how do you keep it new? How do you keep it fresh? And how do you keep it still engaging to that same level? So both of these are going to be really interesting to see where they hold that level.
Jimmy, with me, Incredibles is the thing that I've been waiting for forever. And I think when the announcement came out, it was just met with such excitement. 2018 isn't far away. It's crazy that it's coming out next year. A little more than a year, right? This is 2017, right? I'm in the right year?
Yep, you're in the right year.
All right, so
we're going to be on the Alaska cruise.
We are.
Oh, my God.
They're going to have a midnight show.
Well,
on the
well
Alaska
done.
Cruise, Incredible, too.
Yes.
That's awesome.
That's going to be amazing.
So, what's your movie looking forward to the most in 2018?
I mean, it was before that revelation. I was already looking forward to Incredibles 2. It's one of my favorite Pixar movies, the original. So, I've been looking forward to a sequel. I mean, I can't believe it's going to be 14 years in between movies for that.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, I'm really looking forward to The Incredibles 2.
You know, it's funny, and I won't get into it, but 14 years between movies, that's a number. Another series broke that, though. One would say it was unbreakable. Anyways, going towards it. So now going, just continuing on the animation front, we did get officially a number for Frozen 2, which is not going to be till November 27th, 2019. Everyone seems to be returning. Well, at least Menzel, Belle, and Gad. No word on...
Kristoff?
Yeah, who... What was the king from Hamilton? What's his...
Oh, yeah.
Jonathan Groff.
Yes.
Yeah, no word on him. But I'm sure he's going to be there. He's got to be. He's Hans.
No.
I mean, he's Kristoff. He's got to be there.
Unless him and Sven go on an adventure.
Yeah, let's hope that doesn't... we don't need a whole movie on that. So
no,
that's okay. We'll talk about what we can do in a side film with them another time, I guess.
Well, no, I know that was one of the reasons why the reindeer song was written, because you have Groff, who's such a credible singer, who didn't get a song, and they were like, "Oh, let's give him something."
Okay, what does that have to do with them going away?
I don't know.
All right, sure, fine.
All right, good talk.
It is weird that was all he had. Knowing now, like, what I know about him, because I didn't know him before at all, honestly.
He was from Glee, right?
Yeah, he was on Glee for a little while.
Yeah, which is why I had no idea who he was.
He was the king in Hamilton.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
He's the king in Hamilton.
Some three of my favorite songs in Hamilton.
Yeah, they're all the same tempo, same thing.
But I still laugh every time.
Just copy and paste them all together and listen to them in one shot. Going also into the animation realm, far into the future, November 25th, 2020... is going to be gigantic.
Wasn't that supposed to come out sooner?
I think some stuff got shifted around, but gigantic sounds pretty accurate to what it is. This is the Jack and the Beanstalk, Disney take on Jack and the Beanstalk, which if you ever read the comic book Fables, you knew this was going to happen eventually. Probably be a trilogy if they do it correctly. I don't know. Sure, I'm looking forward to it, but I know nothing about it. But Frozen got such a weird reputation because it got popular. So then everyone had to hate it, because that's what people do now. Something gets popular, and you're like, oh, it's not that great. Like, that matters. But are you interested in a Frozen 2, Ryan?
I am, and I think that there's going to be... I think it's been timed very well into that Frozen popularity is starting to die down. It'll start to kind of get quiet, and just then it'll rise back up. It's a fun movie. I still like it. I'm still sing all the songs. So I'm good with the Frozen 2. Gigantic is probably more of where my interest is peaked, just because it's that known quantity, you know, that unknown quantity. So,
also sticking with these, you know, these kind of, you know, reshaping of tales already told, going with the single title names, Tangled, Frozen, Gigantic, it sort of seems like they have a little bit of a thing going with this theme. I would say the only other time that I remember like this strong of a titling theme was the Pocahontas, Mulan, Hercules. Obviously, these films have fared much better in the overall public. Even though Hercules and all that, they have huge fan bases and stuff, these films have been monsters.
Yes.
And of course, yes, you're right, of course, Moana, right after that, exactly.
Yeah.
That's actually a character's name, though, which is weird, because that was the first time, but I'm saying about the recent ones.
Oh, that's true.
You know, like, it wasn't called Rapunzel.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So this one isn't called Jack, which, man, that's...
Would this be the first one since Aladdin to have the character's name in it?
No,
Hercules. Hercules was after Aladdin.
Mulan, Pocahontas, that
those
era.
Were after Aladdin, yeah. Never mind. Yeah. All right, I'm going to be quiet
Aladdin
now.
Was the
no,
big,
but there's...
That was the big popular
but, yeah.
one.
Yeah, that
yeah.
was probably the most successful one. Yeah,
yeah
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was. I mean, it was, originally Tangled was Rapunzel.
Yes.
They've realized that with The Princess and the Frog, the word princess was scaring people. They knew Rapunzel would scare people. They changed the name. And so they're trying this rebranding of, okay, we're just going to give you, like, a, you know, an adjective, or we're going to give you this, and that's how we're going to build these. It's working for them, but I wonder where the longevity of that holds up over time. Like, yes, these movies will hold up, but looking back, we'd be like, yeah, that was kind of a gimmick.
That also seems like a lesson that they may have learned from their failings with the handling of John Carter. Because John Carter sounds lame. John Carter of Mars, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
Or John Carter, King of Mars, or the Princess of Mars, I think was the first book.
Yes.
Why Princess of Mars, yeah. Why wasn't that, you know? So maybe they've learned a little bit from that. But yeah, I'm interested. Melissa, Frozen 2, do you think that there's a... I mean, look, they're going to make it. I'm sure it's going to be fine. But is it something that you're like, I want more of these people?
I don't know. I mean, I kind of was satisfied with how they ended it. So I don't... The thing is, it has to be a good story. So, like, whatever the story is, like, the short that they did with, for Anna's birthday, like, it was okay, but I didn't really feel like it was needed, so I don't know if... they got to capture me with a good story, most importantly.
Well, they've done it before with big franchises that we never thought really needed a follow-up. Yeah. Toy Story being... I mean, that's a Pixar thing, but Toy Story being the biggest one. I mean, everyone was kind of... you know, slamming their heads against the table when they announced Toy Story 3. And now, with that in mind, we are going to also get Toy Story 4. Now, Toy Story 4 is not coming out till 2019. So we've got some time left on that one. This is an interesting gamble. Jimmy, Toy Story 3 was so good. It has... maybe one of the best endings of any animated film.
I thought it was the perfect ending, and they really could have stopped after 3, and I would have been perfectly fine with where they left it off.
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, like, of course I'm going to go see Toy Story 4, but, like, and I'm sure it's going to be good just because it's all characters we love, and, you know, it's been around since our childhoods, but, like, I really thought they should have just stopped after 3 because it was the perfect ending.
Yeah. Yeah, my excitement will be high for it when it comes, you know, when it starts getting closer and stuff. But for them to have said, we've got something else, and it's worthy of a feature, because the shorts have been so good, mm-hmm. You got to feel that they feel ultra, 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 ultra confident in what they're putting forth next. So, Ryan, do you have any trepidation towards a re-entry into what, like, exactly what Jimmy said? The end of 3 is so perfect.
Yes.
It's like a passing of the torch, in a sense, to a new kid, which you can then say, well, that leads you to a new story. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, it'd be great to see them pull all the old toys out of the box and we get to play with them again. But it did. That story was really, you know, the arc of the 3 was Andy and Woody. And we got that closure. We finally found Woody, found his place. Great. We're in a happy place.
Yeah.
We're good. The shorts have done a great job of giving you a little bit of Bonnie and her toys and everything. And it's like you said, and like Jimmy said, I'll be excited to see it. I'll be happy to see all these old characters come back. But I have both sides. I had the fear of this could take a very sharp turn and we could go into bad territory. Or if you really think that you have something, that it could be amazing. And so I'm kind of balancing both sides to see where it lands.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think it's going to be a... I hate that word, interesting. I think it's a ballsy choice. I think that's what this is. You got to have some nerve to be like, no. I know that we did that ending, and that ending is fine, is perfect. But we're going to go back, and we're going to give you a whole new thing. And then you know if this one is the hit that it can be, which Toy Story is a monster, 4 is not the last one. By any means.
No.
Because these toys are kind of everlasting, you know?
Sorry, I'm just randomly hearing the Mighty Ducks theme, like, in the Wilderness Lodge, and I was just like, what, is that the Mighty Ducks? Sorry.
No, it's cool. I heard a thing. We had some weird music so far we've been in here, actually. So, Toy Story 4, not till June 21st, 2019. Now, there is another live-action film that I kind of wanted to circle back to, because there was some casting announced this week. So it sort of ties into that. Jon Favreau's The Lion King is going to hit theaters July 19th, 2019. So they've... Number one, if you look at this calendar, they've got movie month after month. And they're so close to competing with themselves, it's scary.
Yeah, because we haven't even touched any of the Marvel, like...
Yeah.
Releases, which, you know, May, July, like, those are all in between there.
Yeah, so we're going to get to those next, as a matter of fact, but... some casting news came out this week towards Lion King, and Seth Rogen and Billy, what's his name, Eichner?
Eichner.
Okay. Were cast as, Pumbaa and Timon, you know, in that order. So Seth Rogen is going to be voicing Pumbaa, Billy Eichner is going to be voicing Timon, and I know what everyone's thinking, and I agree with it. Courtney actually commented, I think, exactly what everyone was thinking on the page. She said, is Billy Eichner just going to be screaming? Like, is that what he's going to be doing? Is Timon just going to be screaming? He didn't... Yes, that is his shtick. but see him in Veep, he doesn't lean on that 100%. He still plays a neurotic, nervous, crazy person, but he doesn't do it by just screaming in your ear. That's his on-the-streets thing. I think we should give him a chance before burying him on this one. And really, Seth Rogen kind of, I think, fits really well as Pumbaa.
I think so, too.
I'm kind of good with that one. And then when you tie in that Donald Glover is going to be, you know...
Simba,
thank you. I like blanked on his name. Because I didn't care as much, even though I love Donald Glover, because they got James Earl Jones back. And
that's all the whole
Mr. Wazanski. All right, well, no, we have to get that out of the system.
Yeah.
So that's coming out in July 19th, 2019. We've had a couple of these live-action films now. Jimmy, I know that you said just kind of earlier tonight that they've sort of hit lukewarm with you overall. Do you see any reason that Lion King will change that pattern on you?
The only reason I could think Lion King would change the pattern with me is that is my favorite Disney animated movie.
Okay.
So I'm really looking forward to that. I like the casting that they've done already. Like, I'm really looking forward to that movie. But like we said earlier, like Beauty and the Beast, the live action one, I still haven't seen it yet. So I've and a lot of them, like really, I think the only one I've seen is The Jungle Book. I haven't seen Maleficent. I haven't seen Cinderella. I haven't seen a lot of them. So, yeah, but I'm really looking forward to The Lion King, and I'll be there, you know, opening night for that one.
Does Favreau being the director,
yes,
does that do a lot for you?
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, I'm not as high on The Jungle Book as some people were. I mean, I still really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I didn't think people were losing their minds over it.
No.
But, I mean, Jon Favreau, just from some of the visual effects you saw in The Jungle Book, like, they're going to translate over great to...
Yeah.
You know, to The Lion King, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Now, do you want Lion King live action to have the music and stuff, like the cartoon? Or do you want something like just a story?
I think I'd want the music, too. I mean, it's some of my favorite music in any Disney movie. So, yeah, I definitely think I'd want to see that, too.
What about you, Ryan? Do you want this to be a musical, or do you want them to go different the way that, you know, the way Jungle Book, it had the music in there, but then Cinderella... You know, just totally shot the music out of a cannon, and I think it was for the better. So, what do you think on this one?
I think if you put hints of it into the scoring, I'm fine with it not being a musical. I think it can stand up on its own as a story, and not necessarily require the music to be in there. I mean, for a lot of the music, it wasn't really sung by the characters in certain points in that movie. So, to have just have it there, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So, I'm good with it not being a musical, but I'm sure they'll find a way to work some of it in somewhere.
Melissa, do you want anyone else to return from the original cast? I mean, look, the only one I would ever say would be Jeremy Irons. But is there anyone that, like, you'd want to see play Scar that you could think of off the top of your head?
No, because while, like, Jeremy Irons' voice was great, I don't feel the same way with him as I do, say, like, Hades. You know? Like, I don't know. I don't have, like, a thing where he needs to return. If anything, I would have loved if Nathan Lane would have returned, because his voice I love, like, the most.
Yeah, he put a very specific stamp on that thing.
Which he does, like, with a lot of his roles, like, even in the producers and stuff, like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's very different than the movie. Like, there's, you can tell where it came from, the Zero Mostel portray of, what's his name again in producers?
Bialystok.
You can see it in there, but then he makes it his own, completely on his own. The only person that I thought of, I wanted to double check that I had the name right, because I do. I was happy because I felt embarrassed that I would have got this one wrong. I would pay really good money to see Christoph Waltz, or hear Christoph Waltz as Scar.
Yeah.
Because it sort of has like that DNA connection in a way, like, you know, to Jeremy Irons, with the way that he has that very specific voice, and he can be incredibly menacing while being insanely charming.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the greatest example of that is all of Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah.
That whole movie is just a showcase for him. Ryan, is there anyone that you would like to see come back from the original cast, or you're just kind of good with, we've got the big guy, like, we've got James Earl Jones, and we're good?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that we've talked about before. You don't want to just redo what you've done. So having a voice here or there, I'm good with. And if you got Mufasa, then that's fine by me.
All right, cool.
Yeah, you can't replace James Earl Jones. Like, he's just like...
Star Wars is having that problem.
Yeah.
I mean, they're, I mean, and I will say right now, I think it's going to become a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because his voice doesn't sound like his voice from the 70s anymore.
Yeah.
He still sounds like James Earl Jones, obviously.
But Darth Vader.
Yeah. Him. Yeah. There's just enough of a distant difference where you're like, oh, this is the older James Earl Jones. But it still works. But we'll get to the Star Wars realm of things in a little bit. Before we get to Star Wars, I want to get to the other franchise that we haven't heard from in a long time. And we're not going to hear from for a while still. So on the live-action front, Indiana Jones got a date. But it went back a year. It is now going to be released July 10th, 2020. Harrison Ford will be 78 years old when the film actually releases. Now, look, the man doesn't look 70 years old at all. He looks like he's 50. And he's probably in better shape than anyone at this table. But 78 is 78. But I think this gives this franchise the opportunity that they didn't do in Crystal Skulls. What does Indy do when he can't punch his way out of a problem? So, Jimmy, do you still want an Indiana Jones film?
I don't think so. I don't think we need it. I mean, I'm going to go see it. But, I mean... like, I really think this will be the movie where, since Disney has a Lucasfilm now, like, correct me if I'm wrong, Disney didn't have Lucasfilm when they did Crystal Skulls, right?
No, that was still.
This movie could really be the handoff now where we're going to go from Harrison Ford to whoever the next Indiana Jones is going to be. So if that's where they're going to go with the movie, I'm perfectly fine with it. Like, you give him maybe a protege or something like that where then he kind of takes it over and then we're going to get a whole new series of films. But, like, I'm interested to see, well, like what you said, like when he can't punch his way out of a problem, like what he's going to do in this movie.
Yeah. I would love to go a little more cerebral. Melissa, I mean, I don't know how much Indiana Jones is part of, like, your growing up, but do you want to see another Indiana Jones film? Is that something that's really on your radar?
I mean, it's not on my radar. I didn't really, like, watch him when I was young or anything. But I enjoy, like, the problem solving. Like, in, what is it, Last Crusade, like, when he's solving the riddles and stuff. Like,
Penitent man. That part?
Sure.
Penitent man kneels before God. Kneels!
And is that the one also where they're in the church?
Yes, X marks the spot.
Yeah, yeah. Like, all that stuff I really love. Mm-hmm. So if they did more of that...
That's what I want.
Yeah.
That's what I want out of that movie.
Yeah.
I want sleuthing.
I want a point-and-click adventure. I want treasure hunting.
I want a point-and-click adventure where occasionally they have to avoid the enemy because they can't overpower them.
Yeah.
Ryan, how about you?
No, I absolutely want to see it. I think this goes back to the Toy Story dilemma where 3 ended it really well. Indiana Jones ended at 3 very, very well.
Literally rode off into the sunset.
Rode off into the sunset. Yeah. We were fine. And then we brought it back and we screwed it all up.
Yeah.
And so what I want to see is I want to see a proper ending for Indy. They shot it out in a refrigerator and that was the end of that. But no, I want to see Indy get his true due for his retirement. Like, this is the end of his time. We're gonna move on or we're not. I have no doubt that Disney has plans for Indiana Jones type films.
Yeah.
From here to eternity at this point. But let's give the true Indy a way to bow out gracefully.
Do you want a handoff or do you want just a new actor? Do you want a Bond? Do you want a James Bond type thing or do you want a new actor in this film to be, you know, ceremoniously kind of handed the reins? They're not going to go with the Shia LaBeouf thing. Everyone knows that. But they tried to do that in the last one with him almost putting the hat on. Yeah. And I think that if the movie was received differently, they would have went in a direction of that sort. But it wasn't. So what do you want? Do you want a handoff? Do you want, like, we can keep doing this forever?
I think there's something to the era in which Indy lives that it has to stay in that era. I don't think it works as well in the 60s, 70s, 80s. I don't know what that looks like in an Indiana Jones type film. And so as much as I hate to say it, I think it's let this be these stories and then let somebody else come in and do other movies, which we're going to see how that takes. You know, Harrison Ford's iconic in every role he does. We'll see when the Han Solo movie comes out how people take that in and are able to let go of what their preconceived notions are of that character. And we'll see if that works for Indy as well.
And actually, we're going to segue. That's perfect. We're going to segue right into that. We're going to talk about One of the, you know, the one of the two Star Wars films that we have to speak of, and then we're going to talk about a third possibility. So Jimmy is now Jimmy's really ready for this one.
Now I'm getting giddy.
So May 25th of 2018. What day is this?
April.
So we're like
a little more than a year.
We're a little more than a year away of the Han Solo prequel Solo film coming out. Alden Ehrenreich is playing Han. If you haven't seen the latest Coen Brothers film, which all of a sudden is escaping my brain, Hail Caesar. If you saw Hail Caesar, Alden has a phenomenal tiny role in it, but he's the best part of the movie, without doubt. He played the young actor who could never remember his lines. He was like a cowboy who they were trying to put into like romantic roles. That's him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's him. He's so good in it.
Yeah.
So I'm extremely excited about him being Han. I'm over the moon that Donald Glover is going to be Lando. Then we have Emilia Clarke, Woody Harrelson, and Thandie Newton.
Daenerys
from Game of Thrones.
Oh, wow.
So that's our cast.
That's a good cast.
That's a great cast. Now, my only thing with this cast is Woody Harrelson is Woody Harrelson. Can he fit into a film without seeming like Woody Harrelson?
I know you might not like the films, but he was really good in Hunger Games.
I agree.
And I don't think he was Woody Harrelson-esque.
Yeah, he wasn't in that.
He was.
No, you know what? You're right. You're 100% correct. You're right. Also, I would say season one, True Detective, he did a good job. He also had to play opposite of McConaughey, so he was sort of like the laugh guy, but he wasn't Woody Harrelson laugh guy. So, incredible cast. Obviously, you know, this is going to be, I think, hard just because some fans are so weird. But this also kind of, keep in mind this date, May 25th. We're back to the May releases for Star Wars films, and we're gonna continue that in the very next film. Ryan, what do you see in a Han Solo film? You know what? Let me ask a better question. Okay. I'm going to ask you this question first. Do you care how we got the Millennium Falcon?
No, we all know how we got the Millennium Falcon. Like, it doesn't. We don't need to see the game. I don't need to see the actual game of Sabacc.
You know you're going to see it, right?
I know we're going to see it. That's a thing. We're going to see how he and Chewbacca became the pair that they are, and that's fine. I'm good with that story. I think that's an interesting story. It's been explored in some of the books that have now been done away with. So we're going to get a fresh take on that, I think. So I'm good with that. We're going to get a lot of pieces we already know. It's going to be how different are they than what we have put in our heads for all these years. So I'm interested in it. I was the same thing with Rogue One. It has the Rogue One feel to it of we know these plot points. We've lived them our entire lives. Now we get to see a little piece of it. So I'm good with it.
And doesn't he also? Wasn't there a part of it where Chewie is in that prison that Jin is in? At the start of Rogue One, that's like a prison planet sort of thing, and Chewie was there at one point. So they could kind of make a Rogue One reference, in a sense, just to give someone a tie, like mentally be like, oh, we can tie these things together.
Well, and they can directly tie it together. She was the only one who was given a two-film contract when she signed on for Rogue
One.
That's right,
that's right.
So you could totally have an interaction with her and Han.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, really? She's the only one on the entire thing that has a two-film contract.
The only thing with that, though, I feel like the Han Solo movie would have to be set so much farther in front of Rogue One. Like
10 years.
Yeah, because Han Solo needs to look young. You know what I mean?
She's out in the universe.
Yeah,
she's out in the galaxy.
That's true. Right.
She could be with Saw. Me and my Bogalit. Bogalit!
That echoes really well in this.
It's really good. Thing. That's great.
That was really great.
I'm going to do that again before we leave.
No, but it was good. So, there's a lot of story pieces and there's a lot of threads that can weave together here. So it'll be really interesting to see how it plays out.
Are you up for this, Jimmy? Are you in for a Han?
For a Han? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah? Okay. I mean, how can you not be? I mean,
Because it won't be Harrison Ford.
But you know me. I'm sorry. It's okay, but I'm Star Wars through and through, so of course I'm looking forward to this movie. Like, I want to see how Han and Chewie, you know, became the little team they are together. And I mean, I like Donald Glover, and I think he's going to do a great job as Lando too. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, there's nothing negative on this one for me. Melissa, are you interested in the Han Solo prequel flick?
Sure, I'll see it. I don't know, like, much of the backstories and stuff, so I think it's
better,
actually...
Though. I think that's
even
better.
I was going to say, like, I think it's kind of cool for, like, those people. Like, even for Rogue One, like, you know, if you're not... If you're a young fan or you haven't been, like, ingrained in that culture,
if you didn't know what was going to happen...
Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So...
No, that's good. That's a really good point. I think not knowing is more fun sometimes, you know? I'm totally in line with what you're thinking right there. That's good stuff. So... That brings us up to one of the more interesting, strange things of this, is that Episode 9 is going to release May 24th, 2019. So this will be the first saga release film in May since Revenge of the Sith, and it also gives production 6 months less. And if anything matters, that's the thing I care about. So you're giving them 6 months less time to prep this movie. Is that a good idea? Because also, what are they clearing the December calendar for? What do they have that they have not said yet? Because there's no reason to move from December. So after Harry Potter was done and after The Hobbit was done, Melissa, I don't know if you remember this, a long time ago, I had this conversation. When Disney got Star Wars, I said, watch, they're going to be December. Because as soon as The Hobbit's done, no one is going in December. No one else. So you're going to see Star Wars there. And lo and behold, that's where they put it. And they killed it. Now they're going back to May, into the thick of it, sort of, in a sense. Do you think that giving them less production time to hit a May release is something... Do you think it matters, ultimately?
I do, because it depends on how far ahead of the curve they are on the production to what we're going to see. And they may be further ahead on that than we think they are.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that 6 months is critical. And in my mind, this isn't done to move the slate. This was done to match up to when we're going to see the opening of Star Wars Land on both coasts that summer. No. They want to make that a summer of Star Wars.
All right.
And they're pulling it all together at one time. It's going to be an insane May, I have a feeling, in that year.
Yep.
That's also when, as of currently, we're looking at Iger stepping out.
Yeah.
So,
stepping in.
You start playing with all those pieces. They just wanted a real big summer. And I think that played more into it rather than the time they needed. But I think it may show in the final product.
A year and a half between Star Wars films. That's the shortest we've ever had. Our normal was 3 years. On this, it was 2 years. Now, the last of this trilogy will be a year and a half. It's going to be incredible how quick that time flies by. But, putting that all aside, what about Colin Trevorrow being the director? Do you have any inclination with Episode 9, like a little hesitant to get too excited, Jimmy?
I mean, a little bit. I stand a little differently on Jurassic World than you do. We've talked about this. Yeah. I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was good. I mean, yeah, there were some liberties that were taken where I was like, all right, we didn't need to do that. But after... attending Star Wars Celebration with you a couple weeks ago and watching Rian Johnson talking about like just how much of a fan he was making Episode 8, I'm like, God, I wish he had Episode 9 too.
Yep.
Because, I mean, I don't know how much Trevorrow is a Star Wars fan or anything like that. You haven't really heard him speak much on the movie yet. At least I personally haven't. Like, I wish Rian still had it.
He did say one thing recently. It was a couple of months ago.
He was going to have Rey running around in heels. No?
He wanted to shoot in actual space.
I do remember hearing that. And
don't say that out loud.
Yeah.
Tell your friends. Don't tell us. Because that makes it sound so like, is that what you were thinking? That's the focus?
The only thing I can say is like, if he tried to take some liberties, Kathleen Kennedy is going to jump in there and be like, hey, knock it off. Like, she's going to, you know.
Right. That's my hope.
Yeah, she's smart. She knows the universe. She's a fan like everybody else is. If he tries to do anything kind of crazy, she'll step in there and be like, hey, listen, stop it.
Stop.
Just stop.
Stop this.
Just stop.
Melissa, how about you? I know you don't really, like, get geeky on the details of production and whatnot, but are you excited to only have a year and a half between Star Wars films to wrap up that trilogy?
I mean, the only thing I could see is maybe because, like, it is the wrap-up, like, they already know what they're doing, they already have, like, the cast in place, like, it could go really smoothly, so they might not need all that time.
Uh-huh, yeah, no, you're right.
But, yeah, after seeing Rian Johnson, like, all his like set photos and everything, you want the last film to be in those types of hands. So. Yeah.
And I could be wrong again, but didn't they push one of... Wasn't originally one of these two movies that came out, Episode 7 or Rogue One, supposed to be a May release, yeah. and then they pushed it to December? Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, even if they have this... What's the date? May 25th, 2019?
24th, 2019.
Yeah. They could always push it to December if they feel they need it. It's not...
But I think, like, Brian was saying, I think it's going to be Star Wars movie open, Star Wars land
yeah,
open, celebration happens. Mm-hmm. Like, everything is going to be Star Wars in May. Like...
Are you saying it's going to be May?
It's going to be May.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
There we go.
Sorry. No, that's it. I'm only going to do that once. Until next year. And then I'll probably do it again. Yeah, I'm a little hesitant just because I'm not a huge fan of the director, but in smaller films, he's been great. At this point, the cast will be so comfortable with each other acting-wise that you almost don't even have to worry about that. You just have to put them in the right places.
Yeah.
But again, I'm in love with Rian Johnson. That's all there is to it. I have man crush on his talent, and I just would love to see that. There's one other person, though, and now we're going to talk about just speculation. This is pure speculation. Nothing based on zero. Everyone warm their hands up on the stupid, because it's coming. Kathleen Kennedy has hinted that around this summer, we will hear of an announcement, possibly, of another Star Wars story film. So not a saga film, a Star Wars story film. I feel like there's two possibilities. One of them I care about, the other one I don't. One of them would be Boba Fett. I don't care. Unless they get a director that absolutely blows me out of the water, and then I'm like, okay, I'm on board, because I want to see his visual style in a Star Wars universe in a mercenary film.
Yes.
You know? Yes, Melissa, you're waiting to say something.
Oh, yeah, because, like, we know with, like, Rebels, like, they're going, like, really hard into The Mandalorian.
Wicked hard. Star Wars Rebels, the animated series.
Yes. Yeah. So, like, it would be cool if they took, like, that type of approach to the Boba Fett, like going into that lore, but I feel like you kind of covered it with Rebels, so I don't know.
Not really, because Boba Fett's barely been in it.
No, but he's like, going to be in Mandalorian lore.
Yeah, but Boba Fett's the one you care about. So, like, and again, there's so much more to do. That's like saying you don't have to do Lord of the Rings because we saw that universe in Hobbit. You know what I mean? Like, you could just because you got introduced to the world and you know of it, you can do so much more with it if that's going to be your focus.
Yeah.
You could go crazy.
Well,
Luke Besson. Oh, my God. If you give me a Luke Besson-directed Boba Fett film, I'd slap people in the face.
What did he do?
Luc Besson did The Fifth Element.
Oh, okay.
That's all you need to know. Yeah, that's it. You need to know that. And The Professional.
But what you need to... And with the Boba Fett film, it is. It's that... We all know that Star Wars has that dark underbelly. We see it in... we have these gangsters that we see here and there. There is a dark, gritty world that Boba Fett lives in and thrives in.
Mm-hmm.
That is that movie. It's not an easy movie. It's not going to be easy to adapt into what we've seen in the film so far. If we can take that and really push to that edge of it, that'll be a great movie. If you can't go to that edge, I don't want to see that played around with.
Yeah, I don't want to see a soft Boba Fett film.
No.
Like kind of how when we saw the cast picture for Rogue One, like we were like, oh, it's like the gritty side,
But gritty without being forced.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but that's a tough balance to do. Yeah. DC doesn't know how to do that right now. DC Films fails in that, you know?
It's the last scene. It's the Vader scene in the Rogue One. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. That's what it has to be.
Yeah.
If you can't take it to that level, then that's not
Then don't worry about it. Then don't do it. Jimmy, do you want to see a Boba Fett film? Again, this is all off the top of our heads.
I mean, like I said, it's Star Wars. I'd probably go see a Jar Jar Binks film if they came out with
wouldn't.
One. I probably would, just because it would say Jar Jar Binks is Star Wars story. Yeah, like, just because.
Sure.
But, I mean, of course I'd go see a Boba Fett film. I mean, he's an iconic character from the original trilogy. It could be a fun movie. It's nice to kind of look at the dark side a little bit more. Like, because, all these movies have been about kind of the light side. Like, I'd like to see something that concentrates a little more on the dark side. He's not dark side, but you know what I mean.
But, you know what would be fun? Because you're kind of leaning on this just a moment ago, and I think you're on the right track. What if we're given a film where the rebels seem like the bad guys? Like a film that makes us root for Boba Fett in what he's doing. Because Rogue One showed that then when they want to be ruthless killers, they can be, because that's the only way you're going to win a war.
Yeah.
But what if we're given a position where it's like, no, you're going to see this from the POV of whom we normally would call a villain, and we're going to get you to root for that villain, like they did in the very last moments of Rogue One. You know, they did that, you know, hand over fist, because that's also Vader. That's an easy one to get us to root for.
Yeah.
But I think that could be, I think that could be a really cool approach. All right, you know what? I'm getting more in line with this. So as long as they just take these notes, we'll be fine. But let's talk about the possibility that I care about. The other thing that everyone has, you know, been kind of hinting at, and it's been, you know, Ewan McGregor has noted a number of times how he would like to come back and he would love to play Obi-Wan again. Obi-Wan, A Star Wars Story, I think is where we're going. That's my hope. I also think that is where we're going. Disney has kind of had, you know, McGregor was just involved with Beauty and the Beast. In other casting news, he was recently cast as Christopher Robin in Winnie the Pooh. What are you looking at me, Melissa?
I didn't read the article. That's my fault. But is he, like, going to be, like...
Yes, he's older. So, like, Hook.
Okay,
so Christopher Robin has grown up, and he's forgotten about Pooh.
Okay.
All right?
Seems like this is a cross between... Winnie the Pooh seems like a cross between Winnie the Pooh and... Hook and Paddington Bear, the movie that came out a couple years ago.
Yeah.
It seems like it's kind of those two.
Okay, and Paddington Bear was a huge hit, and it was highly regarded. So, Disney, if you haven't noticed... tends to find these actors, Lupita Nyong'o would be another one that you could think of, where they're just, they're Disney people, like right now, like they're doing a lot of their main work from them. So he's already kind of in the Disney fold. I want this movie, but I also don't know what this movie is about, because they showed you the end of Obi-Wan's story in a sense when they showed you the Twin Sons episode. Because his enemy in a movie should be Darth Maul. And now that we know how that ends and that they did not meet anywhere in between, we know that now. What is an Obi-Wan film?
Just a random question.
Yes.
Did we... I don't remember... Clone Wars or Rebels? Clone. Darth Maul's brother.
That's Savage. Clone Wars. That's Clone Wars. Wars, yeah.
He ended...
Oh, he's dead.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, he's done too. That's the thing. So they've filled in all the gaps, you know, between Obi-Wan, you know, going to Tatooine and Obi-Wan watching over Luke. Like, there's still story to be told in there, but what is it? Is it him keeping Luke a secret because someone finds out? Is it Jimmy Smits's character of Bail Organa returns again and says, I know that you're doing this, but I need you to do this. And he's like one of the first rebel spies.
I'm going to go totally off the wall here.
Do it. Go ahead.
Do you go pre-episode one?
No, only because McGregor is the perfect age right now to play...
True. He is a little older. He's older.
Yeah, he's the perfect age right now to play Obi-Wan where he would be.
That's true.
Like, he's literally the perfect age.
Yeah.
So we have all of that kind of lining up. And I just don't know where the film itself goes. So, Ryan, what do you think? Do you have any kind of wants or desires if they were to say, hey, we're doing an Obi-Wan film?
I do. I think, actually, I'm not sure what we don't see is one and the same of what we're talking about with Boba Fett. I'm not sure. You know, he had, in the Clone Wars, the love interest of Satine. And that thread was left hanging.
Wasn't that Darth Maul's sister? Something like that?
No, she was from one of the families. From one of the Mandalore families. So if we're going to delve into Mandalore history, if we're going to have possibly Fett coming back and being a problem for Satine, and she sends like a Obi-Wan, you're my only hope kind of a message, I could see him pulling himself out of retirement to go save her one last time.
To fight the Mandalorians?
To fight the Mandalorians.
Okay, you give me an Obi-Wan v. Mandalorians, sort of like, what was that? What was that game I played forever? Lord of the Rings game? Where it was
Shadows of Mordor,
where it's just like you're this one person, but you're taking on an army.
Yeah.
If you give me that, oh my god, I'll be in.
And 100%. Obi-Wan has been my favorite character since I was a kid. Yeah. He just lives in my heart, and I'm like, I just want to see. And Ian McGregor does a great job.
Yep.
Please let's just see what he wants to run with. I'm good.
So I don't know. I'm thinking, Jimmy, I think you might hear something about this at D23. So when you are there, I will be paying attention fully.
Yeah, I'll.
I got a question for you, though, now.
Yeah.
All right, so you've gone through, we went through the experience that was Star Wars Celebration. Are you going to be panel hunting at D23?
I'm not sure I'm going to major panel hunt the way we did this one, because I know for a fact that D23, like you guys spoke about on the show when you were reviewing Celebration, that there weren't as many smaller panels. I know D23 has a lot of smaller panels that I probably want to go to. I mean, if I was going to panel hunt for D23... the Star Wars Lucasfilm would probably be... I mean, it's all of them, isn't it? Isn't it like Walt Disney Pictures, Lucasfilm? I think they're all kind of grouped in the one.
That's the thing. They do them
all at
once.
That's probably the one I would try to get into, but more than any of them. Maybe the parks, you know, obviously.
Yeah, the parks will be exciting. I think we're going to get some Epcot news.
I think so, too.
I think we're finally
because, I mean,
some...
Pandora will be open by then, so they, yeah. they can
spend We already know Star Wars.
On,
we already know Star Wars. We know when.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much. We know it's summer, you know, so they've got a, something else. It's always something else.
So, yeah, if I was going to panel hunt for one, it would probably be the Walt Disney Pictures, Lucasfilm, Pixar, whatever. If that's all one panel, that would probably be the one I'd try to see.
Good luck to you.
Can I
I'll do
can
that
I bring up one
time.
More thing when
Absolutely.
We're talking about like
oh
these
God, yes.
Like I feel like I remember back when Disney acquired Lucasfilm that they talked about the Han Solo movie and I could have sworn they talked about a Yoda solo
Yoda,
movie.
They did. They talked about Yoda a lot.
So I could see that maybe being the next Star Wars story. I know you might not look I'd look forward to it, but I'd almost worry they'd CGI it a little too much, kind of like when because when I hear Yoda now, I think of Yoda Episode 2 Yoda where he's jumping all over the place
yeah.
and
yeah, Frog Yoda.
Yeah, like
Frodo.
I mean, I see that one. I feel like you could go pre Episode 1 with when he's just trying to get to the Jedi Master stage and maybe something along those lines.
I know. I can see that, and then I can see you even maybe tie in. Darth Plagueis.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you wanted to bring in Darth Plagueis, if he's not Snoke by some resurrection sort of thing, you know, that could be a path that you could take for that. My whole thing is, if we're going to keep going backwards, let's go back. Let's get the Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah.
Let's relaunch that universe. Get me that movie. Get me those books. Because that is now officially the Wild Wild West. You can do whatever your heart desires in that universe.
Yeah, I feel like if you go Yoda, like, pre-Episode 1...
You
like,
never go back, I heard, when you go Yoda.
You're almost doing, like, how, like Gandalf came to be a wizard. Like, it's kind of like, you don't want to...
A wizard?
You don't want to know him as, like, not, like, an old man wizard, you know? Like...
An old wizard? You are not really John. You're merely pretending to be John.
I was Mac.
What?
But
happened?
You know what
I blanked
mean?
Out. I got nothing. I don't know what's happening.
I left my body for a second.
Yes. No, I understand. And the thing, like, my bigger qualm would be what Jimmy was saying. I don't want to see a CGI Yoda hopping around.
Yeah. And if he was younger, like, that's more reasonable.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, he would be younger. But, yeah, like, I don't know. I don't want to see that. I've always talked to you about, like, I want to know more old lore. Like, that's
old
stuff.
Lore. Lord. Old lore is Lord. It's actually kind of fitting. All right. So that's that. Star Wars, folks. It's happening. And, you know, I'm a fan of a couple other shows I like to watch online. And they're always screaming and crying about Star Wars movies. Like, there's too many of them now. But they also then bellyache over losing the expanded universe. And it's like, did you ever complain that there were too many books?
Right.
Did you ever complain that there were too many comics? No, you miss all those things immensely. What does it matter if there's a movie a year? Like, who cares? It's a movie a year. There's literally 52 comics a year that come out, you know, and more between all the different titles. There's dozens of books or a dozen books that comes out about in a year or so right now. But why does one movie a year sound so awful and so violating towards your fandom? That makes no logical sense to me. It's because of the medium, because you've put, like, a limit on the medium.
Yeah, you've given it a status level, and it's like, no, we can only have X amount of this before it becomes too saturated. And I don't get that. I don't get, as long as it's a quality product, I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't care. It's so crazy. All right, let's go into what else Disney owns. And we're going to talk about the Marvel releases.
Yay!
So the Marvel releases...
We didn't even get there yet.
Yeah.
We got the Marvel, you know what, actually? Before we get to that, we're going to take a little bit of a break. And maybe you're going to find out who won this week's Giving Away KJ contest. We'll be back in a minute. Hey guys, Pete here, and I am going to interrupt our show and to announce this week's winner of the Giving Away KJ contest. Again, how you enter this show, this contest, is by liking and sharing the post over at the Last Gen podcast page. And I want to thank everyone who shared this week's show. And our winner this week is Melanie Jones. Melanie Jones, congratulations. You are the winner this week of the Giving Away KJ contest. Give me a private message on Facebook. Let me know that you heard this and that you know you're a winner. And let me know your shipping address so I can send out your art for you. So congratulations. Thank you so much for being a listener. And thank you so much for sharing the show. Let your friends know. Let everyone know that you won. And since you have now such a lovely piece of art on the way to you, which actually I haven't really picked out yet. It's going to be a lithograph. I haven't picked it out yet. So when that happens and you receive it, go over to spotlightdisplays.com, www.spotlightdisplays.com. You can get a gorgeous front-loading movie poster there in all different shapes and sizes. You can get it custom-made, especially for the lithograph that's on the way to you, for a fraction of the cost if you're going to go to one of those brick-and-mortar stores that make custom frames and they just overprice it by like 300%, some insane numbers like that. So head on over to spotlightdisplays.com. They are my favorite framing company. I just ordered five frames last week for all the stuff that we picked up during Star Wars weekend and everything else. So they're all on their way. They're going to be here in a couple of days. Very excited. And when you go there, if you use the code LASTGEN, LASTGEN, you're going to get 10% off your entire order. So once again, spotlightdisplays.com. Put up some beautiful art, guys. Make your home pretty. And once again, congratulations to Melanie Jones. And back to the show. Ha! What a sweet ad. Wasn't that? Did I just do an ad? I did do an ad for spotlightdisplays.com. Congratulations to whoever won. I don't know who you are yet. I'll find out tomorrow when I record that part of it. All right, we have one more slat of films that were given dates, and we're going to just go over them really quick, starting with these are now the Marvel films. So there are five of them. This is through 2018, 2019. Starting off February 16th, Black Panther. I mean, there couldn't have been a better release date, honestly. It may seem a little forced. Someone may be like, oh, February, you know, that whole thing.
Valentine's Day, because I love it.
Yeah. I can't wait for this movie. I think it might be one of the most unique Marvel films we've gotten so far.
Yeah.
And I'm 100% in. I thought he was one of the best parts of Civil War. Yep. His introduction was fantastic. And what's great is, we know his story. We don't have to go through an origin thing. We know it. Yeah. We might get some flashback stuff, but it won't be the first 45 damn minutes of the movie, which I'm so happy about.
Yeah.
So, Ryan, are you familiar with Black Panther?
I am, and my knowledge is a little bit further back. I had a period where I was really big into Black Panther about a decade or so ago, so I'm a little out of touch with this story currently. But really, really love the story, really love the history of Wakanda. Like, that's going to be an incredible place to put this film. And I cannot wait to see where that plays in how into the universe and just the overall arch. Because I think you're right. I think it'll be one of the more unique offerings we've gotten in that Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Was that around the time Christopher Priest was a writer?
Yes.
That was the run of Christopher Priest. If you're a Marvel Unlimited subscriber, you can read that entire run on Marvel Unlimited. If you don't, you can pick it up on Amazon for not bad. Maybe 20 bucks for both volumes. It's good stuff. Jimmy, what's your familiarity with Black Panther outside of the movies, but does that even matter?
Honestly, I don't have any familiarity with them outside of the movies. Like, I kind of gave up on reading comics and stuff for a long time.
It's a nightmare of money.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, I used to collect them a lot when I was a kid, but not so much, you know, since I was probably 12. Since then on, like, I didn't really collect all that much. So really all I have to go on is the movies. I loved him in Civil War. Mm. What's the actor's name? I went blank.
Oh, it's really hard to pronounce.
Chadwick Boseman. That's his name. I thought he was great in the movie. Like you said, you got his origin story already. You know where it's coming from. So I'm really looking forward to the movie. Even from the scene at the end of the credits.
Mm.
I just really like the way they kind of set up that new movie moving forward. So that's actually probably my second. Gosh, I don't know.
It's a good list.
It's a good list. Like between that, I mean, we're gonna get to them all.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously, Infinity War. I'm really, really. That's gonna be my most anticipated Marvel movie. But it's probably tied for second between that and Ragnarok when Ragnarok comes out in a few months. I mean, I can't wait.
Ragnarok.
But yeah, so like I said, I don't have a whole lot of familiarity with it, but I'm looking forward to seeing where they're going to go with the movie.
Melissa, how about you?
Kind of the same as Jimmy. I don't really know him from the comics that well, but I'm looking forward to it. What I'm really excited about is, this will be one of the first places that's, it's an Earth location, but it's so not at the same time that
you literally are stealing my answer. Keep going.
Yeah, because just that shot when at the end of Civil War when they show you the huge statue, that drew me in so much, and I just want to see it's almost like how you go to Thor's place. Why am I blanking?
Asgard.
Thank you. Oh gosh. When you go to Asgard and you get all that mythos and now you're getting it, but it's on Earth. I'm so excited. And the casting looks amazing.
Yeah. It's a sexy cast.
Yeah.
Everyone's really attractive. Everyone's really attractive. It's kind of a crazy cast.
Lupita Nyong'o again.
Yeah, but I'm really excited to see Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
I want to see Michael B. Jordan. He blew me away. Now I've become a real big fan of Creed over the last couple of months. After the movie kind of being lukewarm with me outside of Stallone. I think it's because I'm so married to that character. I just wanted more of Rocky. And now that I've kind of accepted... Anyways, the fact that this is not taking place in a major city is one of the most appealing things to me visually. I'm ready to not see things falling out of the sky into a city. I'm ready for that timeline. We're there.
And then...
Well, unfortunately, yeah. See, this is going to be... A movie that obviously I can't wait for. And we're just going to talk about part one and part two right off the bat. So May 4th of 2018, we have Infinity War. And then May 3rd, 2019, we have Infinity War Part 2. I love that they're only a year apart. I think that's the right way to do it. They're filming them all as one, which is a great way of doing this correctly. There is a lot of pitfalls for these two movies. Number one pitfall is you've done zero work to establish your villain as a villain. And you've been having Thanos sit in a chair for 20 movies. I don't understand why it's taking so long for him to do anything effective. Because he hasn't done anything effective yet. And I mean, I know that we get that thing like, I'll do it myself. Which is great. But they've had trouble with villains. That's without... If you argue that, you're an insane person. So... That's my big worry, is A, cramming too much into films, B, you haven't done any Thanos work yet. Ryan, what about you?
No, I think that's exactly the pitfall that they're going to fall into. I think we're going to end up seeing most of that legwork on Thanos and him acquiring the gems and everyone trying to stop him in different aspects in part one. My concern is, depending on how much you know about Infinity War... There's a lot that happens real quickly once that happens. Once he acquires all of the pieces, what sticks from part one, if that is so much setup that everyone's interest just drops out for part two after this buildup over the past decade.
Harry Potter part one, Seven part one.
Right. Yeah. Yes, it's exactly like Deathly Hallows part one. I'm afraid that's going to be a lot of that build up.
Yeah.
And then pause and just press the pause button. And you're going to have to wait a year for any of the payoff on it.
Yeah, so part one of Infinity Wars ends with him actually getting the Infinity Gauntlet with all the gems. And it's like, see you in a year.
Right.
It's like, we didn't need this movie then, buddy, because you could have just had him already get this in Ragnarok or something.
And what you're going to run into is that there are... trying to not give away too much, but basically instantly a lot of who you think your cast are become obsolete to the movie.
If they follow.
If they follow.
Which I'm sure they won't.
But it, well, and it depends on what sticks. It's a comic book. It's just like the movies.
The humans are getting a TV show. That's
right,
why.
Right. And so what sticks, what doesn't. But if we go with that, then what? Then what are the real consequences? Does any of that matter, or are you going to undo it a quarter of the way, halfway through part two, and does it mean anything? There's a lot of things that can go wrong on this one. Yes.
There's a lot of things that can go wrong on this one, and it worries me the way that they botched Ultron so badly.
Yeah.
By too much micromanagement, it felt like too many hands in the pot on that one. And obviously made Whedon be like, I don't want to do this anymore for a little while, especially here. That's not good. So there is some trepidations. Seeing all those characters on screen will be exciting, but that's a splash page.
Right, exactly. It's a splash page. Yeah. And if you can't back that up with something solid, then it'll fade in from memory very quickly.
Yeah. Melissa, how about you with the Infinity Wars?
I'm excited. I don't know the whole story with Infinity War. I've also not started out on purpose now when they announced that they were going to do it, so I'm just leaving it for myself. But I don't know. I'm interested in it, and I'm looking forward more, I think, to some of the other movies.
Isn't that weird, though? Shouldn't these be the ones that we're, cooking for? Jimmy, how about you? Are you up on the hill for this one?
For Infinity War? Yeah. I mean, I want to see them bring everybody together. I don't really like you said about Thanos. We really haven't gotten much, and I really want to see how they're going to build to that story. Do you think he'd come in any more between now and then? Between we have Guardians, Thor, Black Panther. I don't think he'd be in Black Panther, but
no, he shouldn't make it to Earth until these films.
So, do you think they bring him in any more in these? I could see Guardians maybe a little bit more.
I thought he was going to be in Guardians.
But doesn't. I mean, we don't have an inkling of that yet. But they really, in the trailers, they haven't showed you much yet.
Yeah, they haven't. You know? But there's a lot of reviews out there. And
I haven't read them.
As much as I avoid spoilers, Thanos being a moving piece in that movie would have come out.
Yeah.
So do you think he'll show up in Ragnarok? Because that's really the big one before Infinity. I mean, you have Black Panther in between there, but we don't think he's going to show up on Earth. So,
here's my answer to that. Yes, I think he will.
And?
But the tonal shift that they have taken with that movie, which I think is the right decision, begs the question of how.
Unless he's
introduce the person who's supposed to be the biggest threat to the whole world in the film that is trying to change the tone of Thor to the fun guy?
Well, we don't really know why Thor gets sent there. I don't think. I don't know. I haven't really studied the trailer, though, so.
No, but I don't. It's not going to be because Thanos bans him and sends him over there.
No,
they're not going to do that.
But if Thanos is setting up for, he wants to take
Thor out of the game.
Yeah, pieces.
That would be great.
He's the mind behind that. So, if it's at the end of Ragnarok, you show
actual smart thinking from the villain.
Yeah, Thanos
that would be
okay,
awesome.
Now we have him here. I'm going to go get.
You want to roll tonight?
Got
roll
this.
Tonight.
And that plays into what we saw him the last time, really, truly, in a film, if we're not counting his I'm a Fun Roommate little shorts.
Thor, yes.
Which was in. At Ultron, where he was like, I have to go find out what all this means.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so if he's the one playing detective on the trail here, then it makes sense to take him off the board in some way that then we get our humorous fun guy, sticking my hammer on a toilet and messing up everyone's day. But, I don't know how much legwork they're going to give Thanos between here and there.
I don't know.
And I think, going back to your point earlier, we were talking about how we should be getting excited for this. I think we got excited for it. We got so many people on screen with Avengers. Then we got even more on screen when we got Civil War. It's kind of like, have we seen enough of these splash pages that now it's kind of the novelty of it's wearing off?
Mm. Yeah. Do you feel that at all? Do you feel some group fatigue, Jim?
I think so, a little bit. I saw Ultron and I enjoyed Ultron, but I was also, again, it was just kind of like, all right, we're starting to get a lot. I'm starting to wear down on it a little bit. And also, it's like we were talking about before, I'm a big Star Wars fan, so I'm totally so hyped for Star Wars now. What? I'm not as hyped for any of the Marvel stuff coming out anymore.
Interesting.
I mean,
that's a good point, dude. That's a good point.
And you know what's really interesting Infinity War Part 2 comes out in early May. Episode 9 comes out late May of 2019. So you have, like, the two franchises, like, wrapping up.
That. That's crazy that you're going to have both of those kind of competing against each other.
And, like,
if it sticks around.
At one point
in
a month.
If it sticks around, which obviously it probably will. Now, summer is usually
high blockbuster.
It's crazy for 3 weeks because everyone is off. That's why, like, when Star Wars comes out in December, it lingers for so long because people see it in drones. They literally
Christmas, and everybody has off the week of Christmas through New Year's. So, oh, what do you want to do? It's cold outside. Let's go to the movies.
Yeah. But, like, with summer, that's where people go. They go to the movies. So,
It's really hot outside. What are we going to do?
So, like, there's an argument to be made that, you know what? Yeah, after 3 weeks of summer box office, you kind of, you got your biggie. Like, you've gotten the money, and it's okay then to release another thing and see how that goes. But it is kind of weird, but that's where you're putting them. Where else are you going to put them? So that's the Infinity Wars. They have, you know, they're going to be coming out 2018, 2019. And then two more films on the docket. July 6th on 2018 is Ant-Man and the Wasp. And this is, of course, a follow-up to Ant-Man. I think it has a perfect title because I think the Wasp is the really interesting character here.
Yeah.
And Ant-Man was fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was right what it wanted to be. I think an Edgar Wright Ant-Man would have been infinitely better. Without much, I don't think that's an argument. But Marvel wanted a Marvel film that looks like a Marvel film. I hope that they... Ragnarok seems to be getting loose of that, and the color palette in Guardians seems to be a lot more alive. Mm. So, here's hoping that continues. I'm looking forward to this one, simply because I think they did a really good job of setting up these two characters as people I care about.
Yeah.
The only problem is, once again, villain. You know, which I'm assuming...
No,
we don't know anything about that yet. So, you know, Melissa, Ant-Man and the Wasp, is this just sort of like, I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not burning down a house.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really looking forward to the next one because, for me, it's like, Marvel has always been where I find a lot of the females that I like to follow. And as of right now, there's only really been Black Widow.
Pretty much.
Scarlet Witch was okay with Ultron, but she didn't really do too much.
No one did too much in that movie.
Yeah, so I mean,
this,
I like Lady Sif, but again, she's like a secondary character.
Man,
so.
Sif could be her own. She could be their Wonder Woman, but we're going to get Wonder Woman. And I think that's why they don't do that, because they know that they're just going to be like, oh, it's Wonder Woman.
Yeah, especially with the armor and stuff. But yeah. So, I mean, having the Wasp is like up there, you know, and Paul Rudd's hysterical, so.
Yeah, he was great in that role. He was fun in that role.
Yeah.
Ryan, with Ant-Man, where's this on the trajectory?
I'm excited for it. I think they did a great job of, okay, we have our origin story, great, but there are other characters in that universe to explore. There are other stories to explore that I'm really interested in. I feel we've, you know, pulled the trigger a little early on Giant Man and Civil War, so we've taken that element off the table for Ant-Man and the Wasp as being a big reveal. It is the villain problem of where do you go with this. So I'm interested to see where it's going to go, but I have some optimism for this one.
Okay, Jimmy, how about you?
I'm looking forward to this one actually, just because like you're talking about the villain problem with Ant-Man. I am not familiar with the Ant-Man comics at all, so I'm excited to see it, to see where it's going to go, because it will be all new story for me.
Same.
Oh,
do you know
cool.
what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's
like
cool.
it's
yeah.
so yeah. It's I'm looking forward to this one. I really liked Evangeline Lilly too, and I think she's going to be great as the Wasp.
She was so good.
She was really good. I'm really looking forward to seeing what kind of character she can play as the Wasp.
And they teased the whole time.
Yeah,
the whole time that movie was going on, you were like, "Are we going to get the Wasp? Are we going to get the Wasp?" And then they actually put it right in the title, but. When we're talking about female leads, let's talk about the biggie. Finally, I don't know why it's taken so long, especially when you've had Black Widow there for so long. I think Scarlett Johansson is the highest grossing actor, end of sentence, in Hollywood this year. So, March 8th, 2019, we finally get Captain Marvel with Brie Larson, right? Mm-hmm. I always feel like I'm going to say her name wrong. With Brie Larson, we know next to nothing about this movie, though, Sar, just that it's going to happen. It does happen before Infinity War Part 2, which is very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that she can be a part of Infinity War Part 2, which is kind of interesting because she might be filming stuff for Infinity War Part 2 before she even films her own movie. Which is kind of weird, but that might be what's going on with that character.
Do you think you might see her in Infinity War Part 1 at all? Like you saw Spider-Man before we actually got Spider-Man Homecoming?
That's a good call.
I mean, they reference her in Doc Strange. She's the girl who gets struck by lightning when he's on the road.
Right.
Oh, that's
her.
I didn't think about that. Okay.
That's her. That's Carol Danvers. So they have referenced her. Do I think that I don't want to see her yet? I don't want to see her in Infinity War. Or if she's the thing that... Okay, this is a personal thing. Infinity War to me is Cap sacrificing himself to everybody. Like, and that's what they've built this character up to. And then Bucky taking up the shield when Cap is gone. Mm-hmm. Captain Marvel should punch the hell out of Thanos. So it's hard for me to balance those two things. Unless they do with her the way they handle Superman in a lot of the animated films, where he's taken off the board. Mm-hmm. He arrives, he is the immediate threat to the bad guy, and like it's game over if he stays around. So they have to find a way to get rid of him. They maybe do something like that. But if Infinity War doesn't end with Steve Rogers wielding, Mjolnir, and with the shield in his hand and the hammer in the other, and doing something with the space and time gem to eliminate Thanos from existence, that's where I want that film to go.
Well, they broke the hammer in the trailer for Thor Ragnarok.
They have broken that hammer so many times. Okay. They've also shattered Cap's shield 100 times.
Okay.
His shield is not his right now, remember? He left it with Tony.
Yeah, he's going to come back as Nomad. No, we're not going to see Nomad. I don't want to see Nomad.
Right now we have Secret Avengers Cap. Right now we have Secret Avengers Cap, which is kind of cool.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, remember he leaves it.
Right. Well, what I was thinking with maybe Captain Marvel, since her movie is before Part 2, if you have Steve Rogers making the ultimate sacrifice in Infinity War Part 1,
I could see
he's
that.
Taken out... She gets her origin or whatever movie beforehand, her on her way to helping these people wherever they may be, and then she plays a bigger part in Part 2.
Okay, but if his ultimate sacrifice leads to a sequel, he didn't do the ultimate sacrifice. Mm-hmm. It means he didn't. It means Thanos is still around, therefore there is no sacrifice.
I think he did it for him. I mean...
No, it has to be the thing that finishes the thing. That's the ultimate sacrifice.
But then if that finishes the thing, then how is Bucky going to take up the shield? Because then it's over.
Because his shield pops through a portal in the sky and it falls on the ground. Comics, honey.
No. But I'm saying, like, if the movie's over, if he makes the sacrifice and it's over.
He kills... Yes, he does.
So then... But then...
Bucky picks the shield up off the ground. I don't understand how you don't get this. Okay, let me...
No, I'm just thinking, time-wise, like, okay, we're in Part 2.
We're in Part 2.
Cap sacrifices...
At the end of the movie to end Thanos. He sacrifices himself.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. The movie's over. Done. Credits.
Yes.
Then what?
Post-credit scene.
Post-credit scene of Cap, of Bucky picking up the Cap shield. He's Cap.
Eh.
What do you want?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. I don't know. That's weird to you?
To leave it on that, yeah. Like, because if anything, like, then it would be cool to see... That happened to Cap in Part 1, and then in Part 2, you're having Bucky take up the shield to, like,
but it means that Cap died for no reason.
His friend and blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, it would mean
Cap dies for no reason, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Not for no reason. Maybe he saves everybody. They get away. They regroup. They blah, blah, blah. Captain Marvel comes in and's like, okay, I'm going to help you out now. And then,
I'm going to help you out now.
I'm going to help you out now. I'm here.
I was kind of... All right, I was really bored before, but I was watching the news. And I saw Steve Rogers disappeared.
It took a light year.
I could see it ending with him doing something like that, the first one. But it shouldn't. He should be the thing. Because they have built it that way. That's the thing. Like, that's Cap.
Captain
America. And then when he's gone, that's when Bucky takes up his shield. And he says, I'm going to be Cap now. And he punches everyone with Iron Fists. And then Iron Fist is like, oh, we should do some lawyer stuff. And then I fall asleep, and then we're all good.
I like that show.
Yeah, I know. It's great. Captain Marvel's going to be great. We just got to wait for it. It's so far off. We haven't learned really anything about it. You're going to get Doc Strange. You're going to get him in Ragnarok. You already learned that. Let's talk about something really quick at the end here, and then we're going to take some questions from Facebook. There's a art show going on. We've been talking about it a lot on the page. Mondo and Cyclops prints are presenting Never Grow Up this weekend in Texas. Basically, it is all throughout the weekend, and they are selling an immense amount of Disney exclusive prints at this show. Whatever does not sell at the show, all remaining stock will then be sold on MondoTees.com as they release them. Now, let me give you a little hint if you've never really dealt with Mondo and posters. It's not easy to get a poster. How they do it is they will say on, say, Tuesday, that on Thursday, that's normally the day things go on sale, Thursday, when we tweet out that these posters are on sale, they're on sale. And that's it. There's no specific time, ever. They've never given out a time, unless it's a timed release where the poster, you have to just buy it over the course of 3 days. The posters normally through Mondo are available for roughly 20 seconds. If you're lucky, that's a long 20 seconds, actually. It's usually 10. So unless you're in front of your computer hitting the refresh button with your credit card all stored and ready in your thing, you're not getting one. That's what's going to happen with these Disney prints when they go to the net. So if you want them, you're going to have to really, really want to do them. Unless you're in Austin, Texas, then go to the show this weekend and try to pick up what you can. There's already a bunch of them online. They're priced for about three times retail, maybe a little more in some other cases. But if you really want one, you want if you're willing to pay more for them, you know, right now on eBay, do it now, because once they sell out online and there's really none left, those prices will double. And we already saw a couple of prints that they were like $180, $190. So it's kind of crazy town. So that's it for that. We were looking at those before, and we saw a bunch of them. Skeleton Dance, 20,000 Leagues.
20,000 Leagues, Rocketeer, Alice in Wonderland, Peter Pan. Every time you turn the page, you're like, I want that one, I want that one, I want that one, yeah. I want that one.
The only one I don't even remember seeing from, like, the older ones was Cinderella. Because there was a Snow White one, there was a Sleeping Beauty one, there was a Sword of the Stone, there was a Robin Hood, there was 101 Dalmatians, there was a Lady and the Tramp, Fantasia. I mean, goodness.
It's always a Never Grow Up Part 2. Think of it that way, I guess, you know? There's got to be a second one.
I want my Aurora. I really want that. The Sleeping Beauty one was cool. Maleficent's really cool looking. The way they did the castle, the artwork.
But you wanted Aurora.
But I really wanted Aurora.
All right. Well, that's happening this week. Good luck to anyone who's going to try to get those. I will be trying to buy a couple myself. Let's go to questions on Facebook. We haven't done this in a while because this show's been so weird the way we've been recording. Starting from the top, Arthur Mills, what are you most excited about in Pandora? Me, personally, it's just the atmosphere. That's my simple question. We're going to do these kind of lightning-ish. Jimmy, how about you?
The atmosphere. Like, I can't wait to see what it's going to look like at night. Mm. Like, in the stark contrast of what it looks like during the day and then at night.
And I love it that the first time we go there, we're going to see it at night. Love it. Absolutely great. Ryan?
The layering of story. There's going to be story throughout that land. You know, with Joe Rohde involved, you're not going to get a bad show. Just to see how that plays out throughout the course of a day, night, the world around you.
Melissa?
Same. I want to see it at night. I want to see the bioluminescence and stuff.
There you go. Soon. So soon. Nathan Stuber says, hey guys, this is a bit of a go with me kind of question. So the last time I visited Disney World, my family and I stayed at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, and my mom and I decided to walk to Kidani Village from Jumbo House and back. That's pretty, yeah. While walking back, I was struck with an idea. What if Disney introduced daily exploration quests with the Magic Band or with some other app? I think it would be a great way for people to explore the parks and various resorts. Well, I mean, they do have some stuff like that. What's the hunting and finding thing in Epcot right now?
Oh, the Easter eggs? Is that the Easter egg hunt you're talking about?
Yeah, they got that. And then they have like
the Agent P, the
Phineas and Ferb
thing.
And then also in Magic Kingdom, they have the treasure,
the Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom card game piece.
And they have
Pirates
that.
Of the Caribbean.
And the Pirates of the Caribbean.
The treasure maps, yeah.
Yeah, so the Pirates of the Caribbean treasure maps are awesome. If you haven't done that, you should go down there and check those out 100%.
The only thing I think you'd have a problem with that is you'd have so many people not staying at those resorts, trying to get into those resorts just so they can do that. And
yeah.
I'm just not sure that would work.
They already have a problem with people trying to go to resorts.
Yeah, I mean, they gave me, like, she was inspecting my ID hard when we just tried to come in here I told her I was going to Territory Lounge and she was giving me a hard time about it. So I'm not sure how easy of a time you'd have to get into any of those.
You're right.
And even if you're looking at a daily thing, you know, people have planned out months in advance for their trip. They have their fast passes. They're not, unless it was built into their plans, they're not detouring for something that just came up today kind of a thing.
The only time I think that works is when, like, we were on the cruise. Like, you're in one location, you have nowhere to go, and then we did that midship detective thing. Like, that was cool.
Yeah, but also in the parks it works.
Yeah.
In the parks itself it works. It works quite well.
That would be so cool if they did something like that in Animal Kingdom. Like, not the Wilderness Explorers. Like,
so that's the thing, they kind of do have that.
I want an adult one, though.
Okay. Jonathan Eberle asks next, I'm on the way to Walt Disney World right now. What are a few of the must-try snacks and small plates at Flower and Garden? I don't know the menu for this year.
I haven't done a lot while I've been here. I did here and there. The Florida Fresh booth, anything there was delicious. So that's my one recommendation.
And that's right. That's still going on. I feel like it's Epcot, so there's a festival on.
Yes.
Yeah, the one in the very front, the berry one, you had the pie, the berry pie, remember?
I don't remember anything.
Okay. It was good.
Okay.
It's like cobbler.
Jimmy, do you remember anything
in
particular?
The Bird Ends hash. Bird Ends hash over at the smokehouse.
That I remember.
With the cheese fondue on top. That one's absolutely delicious. They had it last year, and it's back again this year.
And the chocolate really cake over there at the smokehouse.
I don't know if I tried that one.
Oh, it's really good.
Is it?
Yeah.
I would say the potato pancake. I love that a lot. Lisa Dinote Glass. What's the first thing we're going to do when I'm local? You already know the answer to this.
Drinks.
That's such a lame answer.
Make me jealous.
Drinks. Epcot. No, wait a minute. Change that. Stop. Morimoto, Epcot Illuminations. That's what. You already know that answer. You should have known that answer anyway. Of course it's Morimoto, you maniac. I know how y'all... Thanks, Ed. I gotta get a y'all in here. I know how y'all love the Cars franchise. Just wondering if you saw the new trailer for Cars 3. I thought the trailer had more heart in it than the entire last movie. So I'm looking forward to it. Just wondered if it piqued your interest. I actually did not see it because I've been just watching the prologue for Alien Covenant for hours on end for the last couple of days.
I watched it.
What'd you think?
I thought it was very reminiscent of the first one.
Okay.
I feel like it's kind of like what you were saying, like, oh, he can't be what he was, so he's got to find a way to do what he does differently. It's not targeted for me, I know, but it was just kind of like, eh.
No, well, you know what, though? Pixar says they don't make the movies for kids. So they said that. Therefore, it is supposed to be targeted towards you as well. And if it's not working, then it's not working.
It's the Indiana Jones 4, or Indiana Jones 5 of the Cars trilogy. No, I think it gave me a little bit more hope than I had previously. It doesn't look as dark as we seen after the first trailer. And there are elements of this that give me a hope that this is going to be a good story.
Is that Nathan Fillion in the beginning?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Did you know what else is built on hope? Rebellions. Bogalit! Sorry, I'm going to get kicked out of here probably. Okay, where were we? Where were we? Jeremiah! Oh, Jimmy, did you care about Toy Story 3? Car Story 3?
Well,
Car Story 3? How's that looking?
Woody's going to be driving Lightning McQueen now. I definitely think it looked already better than the second movie did. I like that you saw Mater in the trailer for about 3 seconds, and that was it.
Oh, man.
Like, because I felt like he was shoved down your throat in the last movie. Obviously, because the whole thing was built around him.
The Jar Jar Binks of Pixar.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'll go see it, and it definitely looks like it's going to be better than 2 was.
Okay. Jeremiah Beck, how do you think Pandora will affect the flow of the park? Improve it or just make it even more crowded? What about 6 months from opening? It will not matter 6 months from opening. I'll tell you that right now because it's always busy all the time. The way these things work are more space doesn't equal less people in the other spaces. It equals more people in more spaces. I don't think it's going to make... It's just going to be busier. That's it. That's my answer to that, unfortunately.
The only thing I'm wondering with Pandora 2 is, like, I mean, obviously none of us have been in there yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how wide some of these walkways are going to be and how many people you can actually fit in there at any given time.
Yeah.
Like, is it going to be, like, you know, not so much Diagon Alley, but, like, Hogsmeade over at Universal.
There's a choke
point there.
Where
when it first opened,
yeah,
they had to give you return time tickets saying you can't come back and come in until this time because they need people to empty out. So I'm curious if there's going to be enough room for that in Pandora when it finally opens.
What about you, Ryan? You think the same kind of thing?
Yeah, and I've actually had that similar thought to Jimmy. I don't know if they're going to have... they've never done it before where they've said, no, we're not going to let you into this land. This may be the time where that starts getting instituted. And I agree. It's not going to make it any less... Asia is still going to be just as crowded in the park. Everest is going to be just as crowded because people aren't going to be able to get in. Epcot's not going to be any less crowded. The studios aren't going to be any less crowded.
No.
It's just going to be more people in more places.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm just wondering how the flow of that's going to be, because we know, like, you go...
Sick flow.
You go over the bridge to get to it, but, like, where is it, like, empty out? Like, is it, like, a second... Yeah, is there a second point somewhere?
I think Ryan actually has an answer for that.
Oh, he knows?
So I don't know for certain, but if you go back by Festival of the Lion King and you look at the archway over there, there is actually a wooden boardwalk underneath the pathway that looks like it's leading into the backside of Pandora. So it does look like there's going to be a way in, way out there.
Okay, then that makes sense. Because, I mean, it does have two attractions. It does have a lounge in there. It has a quick serve in there. So it has a lot of stuff, albeit so does Hogsmeade. But Hogsmeade is super, super tiny. I do feel like this might be a little bit larger.
There's also so many fake... false storefronts in Hogsmeade.
Yeah, that's also true.
It looks like there's more to do, but there's really not.
But there's really not.
Diagon Alley helps a lot of that.
And I don't want to go on a tangent here, but like they're doing this new projection show on like Hogwarts Castle come Christmas time.
Yeah.
I am terrified to even walk in that area because it is going to be shoulder to shoulder and nobody's going to be able to move around.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that thing. I'm happy they're doing something like that, but then you look at the real estate and you're like, how many people can fit here?
Yeah.
Comfortably, and see things. Like, it's going to be weird. Tim Fisher, are you planning on trying the new Star Wars tour at Disney Hollywood Studios? No, actually. It offers...
an hour one, right?
And it offers nothing for me, personally. It's just like, hey, look at the stuff we have now. Pay a premium to do the stuff that you can do totally on your own without a guide. There's nothing for me at all in that thing.
No, and as much as I love Star Wars, I either know it or I know how to do it. I don't need the tour to tell me how to do it.
Wait till the park opens. Then I think we'll jump on that thing. Stan Solo, with talk that the fireworks are causing brush fires, should Disney put a halt to them for the time being?
No, because you have people who come here once every 2 years.
Yeah, but that doesn't equal people's houses burning down. That's not the trade-off.
I think Disney has the people who know how to make those decisions, and they're making them, and I'm not going to second guess.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into that. But that's the thing. Like, I wouldn't say no because people are trying to have magic.
No, but I'm saying,
because if
like,
it's causing fires, you know.
Like Brian was saying, they have better people qualified to do that.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure if it's a problem, they would stop doing it. That would be really the best way to do it. What is your go-to restaurant outside of the parks? So at a resort, Disney Springs, or on the boardwalk, etc. Right now, it's Homecoming and Morimoto. Those are my two answers.
Homecoming is definitely up there for me. Morimoto's great. Can I go to another theme park?
Yeah, sure.
I'd say the Toothsome Chocolate Emporium and Savory Feast Kitchen at Universal Studios. I'm just saying that because I work there.
The full title.
Yeah. Yes. But, like, I mean, you know, I'm a Universal fan, not as much as Disney, obviously, but I'm not being biased here because I work there, but I think they have the best food in Universal Studios out of all the Universal-owned restaurants.
I think, I'm with you.
And it's nice now that Universal, like, it's free parking after 6 p.m. now, so it's more like Disney Springs. So you can just, if you want to spend the night, you can go there, you can walk around City Walk, look at some of the shops.
I didn't know that.
Like, yeah.
Cool.
It used to just be for Florida residents. Now it's for everybody after 6 p.m. parking free. Unless it's like a Halloween Horror Nights night when the parks are going to be open late, and then you're still going to have to pay. But
that makes sense. Ryan?
Jiko Homecoming and Kona Cafe. Mm-hmm.
That's good. Melissa?
Yeah, I can't really think of another one that hasn't been said. I mean, I'll throw in Raglan Road because I really always like that, and it's got a good menu.
There's some epic music going on in this joint.
Yeah.
I don't know. I almost thought it was Star Wars for a second. It was really weird.
We had Mighty Ducks for some reason, so.
Yeah.
Epic.
Our final question. Oh, that was from Jamie Alley. I'm so sorry. I feel like I didn't say your name. I apologize. Our final question comes from Scott Ringler. So Johnny Depp's surprising guest on Pirates of the Caribbean. Oh, that happened? What other ride and character/celebrity pairing would be an awesome pixie dust magic event? Yeah, that's a lot of adjectives. In the parks.
I think we already had it when Dwayne The Rock Johnson rode the Jungle Cruise since he's going to be in that movie now.
That's a good point. That's a good one. Eddie Murphy at the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, God.
Dying for that?
No, I'm not. Ian McGregor at Jedi Training Academy.
Oh my gosh, could you imagine?
Sure.
Let's do that. Let's go
that's
there.
That's good. Melissa?
Or just throw an Adam Driver over there, too, because...
He takes off the helmet?
He takes it off.
That'd be really great. That'd be great. I'm good with both of that. I'm good with both of those. I'm going to actually just go with those. So those are your questions. I think we're just about ready to wrap up for the night, because we have been here for quite a while. I know certain people have to get to bed because they're going to the parks in the morning. I apologize, Ryan.
I'll be fine.
I think we're not at 2 hours yet. I'm not in trouble yet. I'm not in trouble. Is she mad at me?
I have no idea. I haven't got...
Okay.
I may be in trouble. I may not be in trouble. I'll find out when I go downstairs. I'm probably in trouble.
We haven't been having the best cell service up here, so there could be texts that he hasn't gotten yet.
I haven't gotten anything. And I've not seen a cross look from where she's sitting, so I think I'm okay.
Just so everyone understands, we're recording this up there. Ryan's wife is being incredibly nice and patient, and she's downstairs just like waiting for us to finish up. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in this week. Congratulations to this week's winner, which I said earlier in the show at some point. So congratulations. PM me. Get me your address. And remember, guys, to enter the weekly contest, like and share the post from Facebook, our Last Gen podcast page. And, of course, go over to KevinJohnStudio.com. Check out all of his work. Follow Kevin John on Facebook. He's always got some stuff going on. He's got a lot of Disney stuff going on right now. If you're not following, you're missing out on a lot of great stuff. This episode of Disney Magic Hour is brought to you by MEI Travel. For all your vacation planning needs, head on over to MEITravel.com. Becky and her team, they take care of everything, yeah? Take care of everything. Right now, you are listening to There You Are. You can find this track and more over at SoundCloud.com/PogoMix. His website is PogoMix.net. We are LastGenPodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at Diz Magic Hour Pod. That's D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. We're on Facebook. We have the Disney Magic Hour group in there. Add yourself, add your friends, please. We're on iTunes. We are on Google Play Music. And you can also find us at SoundCloud.com/Disney Magic Hour Podcast. Download the app. It's the best way to listen to it, especially if you're an Android user. This is your key to getting this the easiest way. So download that SoundCloud app. Do a search for us. Add us on, and you are all set. Melissa, where can everyone find the Instagram?
At Disney Magic Hour Podcast.
Ryan, where can everyone find the Main Street Gazette?
They can find it at mainstgazette.com. The Main ST Gazette will find you us on Twitter and on Instagram, and search Main Street Gazette on Facebook, and it's there as well.
And Jimmy, where can everyone find you on Twitter, and particularly when you're going to be coming out with Dopey Dudes?
On Twitter, you can find me at Jimmy_Styles. It's STILES. And the Dopey Dudes you can find on Facebook at Facebook... Facebook.com/TheDopeyDudes. And the first few shows actually should be coming out in the next week or so.
All right, great. And you guys know where you can find me. I don't even know where I can find me. I'm always on the page. Nice and simple. Till next week, folks. Thank you for tuning in. Say goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Melissa.
Say goodnight, Ryan.
Goodnight, Ryan.
Say goodnight, Jimmy.
Goodnight, Jimmy.
Goodnight, Pete. And say goodnight, Pogo.